What's up, everybody? This is the Locked On Yankees podcast, your daily podcast covering the New York Yankees. We are brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. If you're new, welcome. I'm your host, Stacey Gottsoulias. I'm an author of Baseball Prospectus, and you can follow me on Twitter at Locked On Yankees or at my personal account, Stace Gotts. As always, you can listen and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher, and you can play Locked On Yankees on your smart speakers by saying play podcast Locked On Yankees. You can also email questions or comments to lockedonnyy@gmail.com. In today's episode, we'll preview the series against the Red Sox, which the start was pushed back to tonight due to inclement weather. We'll have an Aaron Judge update, Aroldis Chapman update. I will regale you with a funny story, and we'll go around the league. So the Yankees and Red Sox start a meaningless three-game series tonight. I say it's meaningless because there's no way the Yankees can catch up to the Red Sox in the standings. Of course, it does mean something with regards to the scant lead they have over the A's in the wildcard standings. The Red Sox magic number to win the division is 2, so it will definitely happen at Yankee Stadium. All the Yankees had to do was beat the Twins and the Blue Jays 2 out of 3 instead of losing 2 out of 3, and this wouldn't be happening. How do the Yankees expect to win the wildcard game if they can't roll over crappy teams like Toronto and Minnesota? Anyway, let's get into the matchups. Tonight will be Jay Happ against Nathan Eovaldi. Happ had a strong outing his last turn against the Twins. He pitched 6 innings, didn't give up a run, he didn't walk anyone, he gave up 6 hits, and struck out 3. Since coming over from the Blue Jays, Happ has made 8 starts. He's pitched at least 6 innings in 6 out of those 8 starts, and his longest outing was 7 innings on August 14th against the Rays. And on the other side, after 2 strong performances to start his time with the Red Sox, Nathan Eovaldi has struggled. Since his strong outing against the Yankees on August 4th, Eovaldi has reached the 5-inning mark only twice, with his worst outing coming against the White Sox on August 31st, when he only lasted 2 innings. In that start against the Yankees in early August, Eovaldi held the Yankees to 3 hits in 8 innings. He walked 1 and struck out 4. Let's hope the Yankees don't repeat that performance tonight. On Wednesday, the matchup is Luis Severino against David Price. Severino has clearly hit some sort of wall because he's still not back to the pitcher he was in the first half. He took the loss last Wednesday against Minnesota. He lasted 5 2/3, gave up 1 run on 4 hits, and struck out 5. I know you're thinking, but Stacey, that's not awful. No, it's not, compared to the outing before, in which he lasted only 2 2/3 against Oakland, giving up 6 runs on 6 hits. 5 of them earned because Severino and Gary Sanchez were having issues. I feel like Severino really needs to figure stuff out quickly, or tomorrow will be another short outing because the Red Sox are a very good team and they've won 103 games. So, yeah, again, he needs to figure this out. The last time Price faced the Yankees in Yankee Stadium, he lasted only 3 1/3, gave up 8 runs on 9 hits, and he surrendered 5 home runs. That was a great night. The last time Price faced the Yankees overall was during that awful series in Fenway in early August. He lasted 6 innings, gave up 2 runs on 4 hits, walked 3, struck out 5, but he didn't factor into the decision. Again, I would prefer a repeat of the July 1st home run derby game, but beggars cannot be choosers. And finally, we have Masahiro Tanaka against Eduardo Rodriguez. Now, aside from the blip against Texas on August 10th, in which Tanaka gave up 6 runs on 6 hits in 5 innings, including 2 home runs, he's been pitching pretty well. He did have an iffy start against the White Sox. He lasted 7 innings, which was good, but he gave up 4 runs and he picked up the loss. After that, Tanaka's been on a roll his last 3 starts. He's given up 1 earned run, struck out 24, and walked 3. He is definitely making a big push to be the Yankees' wild card starter, and tonight will be another test for him. Tomorrow night will be another test for him. And the last time the Yankees faced Rodriguez way back on June 29th, they tagged him for 5 runs in 6 innings, and he picked up the loss. Overall, Rodriguez's numbers are very similar to Tanaka's, so it's kind of neat that they're facing off against each other. Hopefully Tanaka will prevail. Tanaka is not pitching tomorrow night. That's Thursday. Sorry. My days are all screwed up. I apologize. Remember back in 2016 when Mark Teixeira hit a walk-off grand slam that guaranteed the Red Sox couldn't celebrate a division win on the Yankees field? Is it too much to ask for the Yankees to remember how they played in late June, early July, and just sweep the Red Sox so we don't have to see them celebrate on our field? Please, 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 please. I will cross every body part I can possibly cross, including my eyes, that this happens, but it probably won't. Oh, and one more thing before I close out this segment, because you may not know about it. Tonight's game is going to be on Facebook Live for out-of-market fans. It'll also be on MLB Network for out-of-market fans. Now, I don't understand how the Facebook Live stuff works. I've never watched a game on Facebook Live. I've seen other people talk about it, tweet about it, but I haven't done it yet, and I don't even know how to access those games. So maybe there's a primer on MLB.com for it or something, or just ask someone who knows how to watch games on Facebook. So up next, we will have some Aaron Judge and Aroldis Chapman updates, and I have a couple of stories to tell, but first, and we're back. So both Aaron Judge and Aroldis Chapman took part in simulated games on Monday. Chapman threw 22 pitches to Tyler Wade and Kyle Higashioka and didn't have any issues. Chapman says that he's very optimistic about returning to the team before the season ends. Judge also did not have any issues, and he also had another sim game earlier today. Because of the game being pushed back to nighttime, he was able to have the Yankee Stadium field all to himself. And there were a bunch of people watching him. Brian Cashman was there, Aaron Boone, Marcus Thames, Reggie Jackson, Steve Donahue, Josh Bard, Assistant General Manager Michael Fishman was also there, and the Director of Pro Scouting, Dan Giese. I'm probably not saying that right, so I apologize, Dan. Anyway, they all watched Judge. He was facing off against minor league right-hander Adonis Rosa, who pitched for, I believe, single-A Tampa. Yes, advanced Tampa. He was 12-3 with a 3.84 ERA in 20 games, 15 starts. He also made 2 starts for Trenton and 4 starts for Scranton. So Judge hit a few balls in play, and I believe he hit an oppo taco to the short porch. So that's a good sign. During the off day on Monday in the sim game, he had 11 at-bats facing AJ Cole and Chance Adams, and also against minor leaguer Philip Deal. So things are looking pretty good for Judge to come back during this series against the Red Sox. Let's again cross all of our fingers that that happens. So I have a story time to tell, and it actually kind of has to do with the Yankees and the Red Sox. 5 years ago, the Yankees and the Red Sox were playing a series in early June, and the Sunday night game, it was a rainy night, and crazy storms were in the area, and I had left my seat up in the upper deck to meet someone down in the 200 level, and the teams had been off the field for a while. The game had been delayed because, I mean, it was a deluge of rain and thunder and lightning, and at one point, there was a clap of thunder that was so loud, it scared everyone in the stadium, including the players. Now, if you Google Yankees Red Sox Thunder, you'll find the clips of both dugouts freaking out because it sounded like a bomb was dropped. It was so loud. The stadium actually shook. It was really scary. So you're probably wondering why I'm mentioning this. I was woken up this morning at 6:48 a.m. to another thunderclap like that, but above my house. And what was strange about it was I should have been really scared because I was startled out of my sleep. And you'd think, you know, a big noise like that and you wake up to it, like your heart would be beating fast. But that didn't happen to me. I was more like, what the hell was that? And then went right back to sleep. I wanted to check to see what time it was, to see if my brother was still home, because he leaves pretty early for work. He works in the Bronx, and he had already left. But I went back to sleep, and when I woke up later, I asked my mother if she heard it. She goes, oh, did I hear it? Of course I heard it. I was like, okay, good. Because I was kind of like, did I imagine that? Was I dreaming it? And the other strange thing was this ginormous clap of thunder that felt like it was right above our house, like so much that it shook the house. And then there was no more thunder. It was like everything disappeared. It was very weird. I don't know. But that game back in 2013, the Red Sox actually ended up winning it as a rain shortened. I think it was 7 innings. The Yankees just could not get hits in that game. It was so frustrating. And it was even more frustrating when the storm was just like, hey, I'm going to stick around and make you not be able to play. So I'm trying to think of other Yankee Red Sox stories that I have. Oh, yes. Back in 2012, I attended a Yankee Red Sox game on a Sunday night. I gave my regular Sunday tickets to my brother and his girlfriend at the time. And I sat with a friend of mine on the other side of the upper deck. And it was the game, I think it was Josh Beckett's last start as a Red Sox before that big trade that happened with him and Crawford and who else was in that trade. It was like 4 people in that trade. Ichiro hit 2 home runs off Beckett that night. And it was the greatest thing I've ever seen. Because, you know, people always used to talk about Ichiro. Oh, if Ichiro tried, he could hit home runs all the time. And I was one of those people, well, if he could hit home runs all the time, why doesn't he try to do it? And when he hit the first home run against Beckett, I thought that was pretty funny. I was like, wow, I actually saw Ichiro hit a home run. That's awesome. Then he does it again. And the whole stadium went nuts. The Yankees won the game. And I just thought it was hilarious because it turned out to be Beckett's last start as a Red Sox. Because the trade happened that Friday or Saturday. Yeah. But seeing Ichiro hit, like, I'm so glad that with all the baseball games that I've been to in the last 35 years, that I can say that I watched Ichiro hit 2 home runs off Josh Beckett as a Yankee on a Sunday night game in front of a national audience. That was awesome. I have so many Yankee Red Sox stories because I've been to so many Yankee Red Sox games. When I was at the old stadium, I had the Sunday plan. So Sunday plan equals a ton of ESPN games. So between going to Yankee Red Sox games on Sunday nights and Met Yankee games on Saturday nights, yeah, it was actually pretty great when I was still living in the city because sometimes it didn't take me 2 hours to get home unless the MTA was really screwed up. But yeah, I mean, I was there in July of 2008 when Brett Gardner hit a walk-off single against Jonathan Papelbon on a Sunday night ESPN game. It was his first walk-off. He was only called up June 30th, and this game, I believe, was July 6th of 2008. So that was fun. I was at the game, the 4-game series in August of 2009. And in the series, you know, A-Rod hit that walk-off in the 15th inning. I was at the Sunday night game when Victor Martinez hit a home run to put the Red Sox up 2-1 in the eighth inning. And then Teixeira and Damon went back-to-back. Well, Damon and Teixeira went back-to-back the very next, you know, bottom of the eighth. And I remember saying to my brother that night, they're winning the World Series this year. There's no way they're losing. I just felt it. And it was the first game at the new stadium where it felt like a playoff game. And the atmosphere was just insane. And I think the Yankees went on to win that 5-2 because they padded on some runs after the back-to-back home runs. But those back-to-back home runs were so awesome. It was so much fun. Please, guys, could you please just don't get swept. I just don't want to sweep. At least win one game against these guys. That's all I'm asking for. Anyway, up next, we're going to take a trip around the league because there are a lot of races that are close and we're getting down to the nitty gritty. But first, everyone loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person, which in my case would be Duran Duran, or being there in the crowd to cheer on our Yankees. Thanks to Vivid Seats, you can attend the concert, show, or sporting event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all of the live events you want to go to. You can sort tickets by price, or you can look for seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. Just go to the App Store if you have an iPhone or Google Play for Android and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Every purchase you make is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. So download the app and enter the promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. And we've reached our Going Around the League segment, where I tell you all of the important things about what's happening around the rest of Major League Baseball. So, I don't know if you guys heard, but Christian Yelich is having himself a year. And now that he's not on the Marlins, he's getting a lot of attention, and for good reason. He hit for the cycle last night, for the second time this season. And not only that, it was the second time that he hit the cycle against the Reds in the last 3 weeks. The Brewers won 8-0 over the Reds, and Yelich became the fifth player in Major League history to hit for the cycle twice in the same season, and he's the first to do it against the same team. He hit for the cycle on August 29th in Great American Ballpark and had 6 hits overall. So the Brewers' win last night kept them 3 games ahead of St. Louis for the first wild card spot and 2.5 behind the Cubs for the central title. So remember how I said the Rockies were leading the NL West by half a game heading into their series against the Dodgers? Yeah, they're now half game out because the Dodgers beat them rather handedly, 8-2 last night. They're also a half game behind St. Louis for the second wild card game. And remember how I mentioned Arizona fading away? They're fading away. They lost to the Cubs 5-1 last night, and they're now 5 games in back of the Dodgers for the NL West lead and 5 in back of St. Louis for the second wild card. Also fading away, the Philadelphia Phillies, who lost to the Mets. And even though Atlanta lost to St. Louis and the Phillies remain 6.5 games behind the Braves for first place in the East, it doesn't look good for them. And because of their loss, they're 6 games out of the second wild card spot. Now, I mentioned yesterday, I think I mentioned this, the Mariners' elimination number is 2, but it's still 2 because they beat the Astros last night. And because the A's were off last night and the Astros took the loss, the A's actually gained a half game, so they are now 4 games out of the AL West lead. So there's actually still time for the A's to somehow overtake the Astros, but that door is closing quickly. One positive for the A's is that they're playing against the Angels in a series starting tonight, and the Angels aren't that great, but they can also play spoiler and cause the A's to not overtake the Astros and also not overtake the Yankees for the first wild card spot. The Yankees have a slim 1.5 game lead over the A's. Somehow it doesn't seem fair that the Yankees have to play the Red Sox and the A's get to play the Angels, but that's what happens. Baltimore lost their 107th game last night. They lost 5-0 to the Blue Jays. So they are now 60 games out of first place. 60. 6-0. That is insane. And the last time a team was that far out of first place was way back in 1962 when the New York Mets debuted and were just atrocious. So congratulations to the Orioles for nearly overcoming the 1962 Mets in some sort of stat. That is not great for them. So there is a little bit of breaking news while I'm recording this podcast. I mentioned the Rockies and how they lost to the Dodgers last night, but they may have a bigger loss. Trevor Story exited the game early last night because he made a diving play and then ended up hurting his right elbow. And Ken Rosenthal is reporting that Story is facing potential UCL damage in that elbow. So that's not great because he's pretty much their best player. He has 33 home runs, 102 RBI, and his, I know people are like, I don't like this stat, but I'm going to say it anywhere. He has 4.5 WAR on FanGraphs. I know I'm a writer for Baseball Prospectus, but I look up stats on FanGraphs because they're easier to follow. I apologize. Don't kill me. That's a big blow. He made the All-Star team and he's doing well. And I know people will say, well, he's hit 33 home runs, but his home games are in Coors Field. He's still hitting the balls, so he's a good player. So that is a big blow for the Rockies, who are neck and neck in a fight for a division title. So that'll be it for today's episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I have been your host, Stacey Gatsoulias. You can follow me on Twitter at Locked On Yankees or at my personal account, Stace Gotts. And once again, you can email us questions at lockedonnyy@gmail.com. You can also rate this podcast on Apple and on Google Podcasts. You can subscribe at Apple, Google, Spotify, and Stitcher. And if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. Enjoy your day, everybody.